Last October, UW System President Ray Cross announced a plan for the biggest restructuring of the state's university system in nearly 40 years. The state's 13 two-year colleges would merge with 7 of the state's four-year universities, and what is known as UW Extension would dissolve with its services including Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television being transferred to new homes at UW-Madison and the UW System Administration Office. The plan included a July 1st deadline for at least part of the merger, and local campuses have been busy working on how that will happen. Today we'll talk with officials from UW-Barron County and UW-Eau Claire about what it all means for our region. This is The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us this beautiful Monday morning on Ideas 88.3 WHWC and 88.7 WRFW. Joining me in the studio are the two representatives from UW-Eau Claire and UW-Barron County. First, I'd like to welcome Brittany Nielsen. She is the UW-Barron County Campus Administrator and Associate Dean for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management at UW Colleges. Brittany Nielsen, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And next, I'd like to introduce Mike Rindo. He is UW-Eau Claire's Assistant Chancellor for Facilities and University Relations, also known as the face of UW-Eau Claire. Mike Rindo, welcome back.
Maybe this morning I'm the voice.
You're the voice. And what a voice. Listeners, if we want you to be part of this conversation. If you've got questions about the restructuring, it's a big proposal. There's a lot of moving parts. And if you've got questions about how it affects UW-Eau Claire, UW-Barron County, or if you're near UW-River Falls or UW-Stout and wonder if it's got any impact for those schools as well, give us a call. We'll do our best to answer it, your questions. And also, if you've got a comment, please do let us know. 1-800-228-5615. So as I teased in the lead-up to the program, the UW Board of Regents are meeting Thursday and Friday. I think it's in Milwaukee. The meeting agenda hasn't been publicly released yet, but I would assume that campus officials have some idea of what the board members will be discussing. I saw one news story that had something to do with a policy other than the restructuring, but let me start with you, Brittany Nielsen. What insight do you have? I mean, what will the Board of Regents talk about with regards to restructuring? Any idea?
That's a really good question. We're all waiting for the public release of the agenda topics, and one of the things that we are working to try and propose is our official name change. So we've been working really hard with our county and community members, just making sure that they have insight and they give us feedback to what they want to see. One of the really important things is as we are partnering with UW-Eau Claire, UW-Barron County will still remain the local campus. It's still going to remain very true to its mission. So it was really important from Eau Claire and Barron County that we really focus on getting that buy-in, getting that feedback, and making sure everyone felt like they were truly a part of the process from the name change all the way through other details. So we're waiting to see if that will be an agenda item that will be discussed, and then we can start moving forward. Again, everything's dependent on that HLC approval July 1st, but we've really been working hard to make sure all the priorities are met and we're checking all the boxes.
I want to go back for one second. HLC approval, maybe not everybody knows what that is. So
right.
What is that? What is HLC?
So it's our Higher Learning Commission, and it's the body that gives us the credentials. Basically, it allows us to operate as a higher educational institution. So we have to have that approval in order to move forward with a partnership. So we are working really hard behind the scenes. We're doing all the back end office work, but we really can't move forward and go in a legal state until HLC, Higher Learning Commission, signs off and gives that approval.
Good to know.
Yeah.
And Mike Rindo, as for a name change, how can that, to me, that seems like maybe the least of the UW system's worries. I mean, how much goes into that? How important is that?
I think one of the things that Brittany touched on that's very important is a buy-in from the local campus, mm-hmm. that is going to be partnered with UW-Eau Claire. because there's a long tradition of the campus there, 50 years of tradition at the Barron County campus. And so we wanted to make sure that we were listening to people about what they would like to have the identity of the campus be going forward. This isn't the first time that there will be a name change for that institution, just like there's been numerous name changes for UW-Eau Claire since its inception in 1916. So the recommended name going forward is University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, Barron County.
And how do people at the Barron County campus feel about that? Because, you know, some of the concerns early on were that there would be this loss of identity. And to UW-Eau Claire and UW-Barron County's credit, as soon as this news came out, I feel like there were public meetings and meetings with county officials and all the stakeholders. So a lot of people have spoken highly of the buy-in. But, you know, going from UW-Barron County to having this extra part tagged on, what does that mean to local people at the campus in Rice Lake?
It's funny you say that, because one of the things that we talked about at commencement and on the back of our commencement program were all of our different names and all of our different logos.
Sure.
So we have been connected with Stout. We've been a center. We've been Barron County, and now we're going to be UW-Eau Claire Barron County pending all the approvals. And it was just a moment that our names can change, our name can change, our colors can change, but we're still Barron County, UW-Barron County, with the same mission we've been serving for over 50 years. And the really important thing was the name change was the most supported. It was the most supported by our county members, by our prospective students, our high schools, our current students, and our faculty and staff. So it was the one that really stood out to say, yeah, all of us are behind this. No matter what the name is, we want to make sure we hold true to our mission, and we keep serving our local communities.
Now, the name change, is there going to be a standard? I'm kind of wondering if we're going to see this model, you know, in other campuses that are universities, four-year universities that are absorbing a two-year or merging with a two-year, I should say. Is it kind of boilerplate, do you know, Mike?
I wouldn't say it's boilerplate, but UW System did provide guidance to the campuses, both the two-year campuses and the four-year campuses, and there were some things in there that are required. So, for example, University of Wisconsin must be in the name. And so we didn't just do a free-for-all. We came forward with a number of options. As Brittany indicated, it was the most favored option. And we arrived at that by having community discussions, campus discussions. We did a Qualtrics survey with a number of the constituents up there. So it was widely distributed. And the information came back that is the preferred name, University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, Barron County.
Okay. Anything else that could be before the Board of Regents with regards to the restructure? Because, you know, July 1st, that's the date that I've been hearing and have been writing in my stories. How substantive is July 1st? There's a lot of stuff up in the air, but Brittany Nielsen.
There is a lot of stuff up in the air, and I think one of the benefits we have between UW-Barron County and UW-Eau Claire is that we are truly working together collaboratively. I tell my staff all the time, it's just going to be another day. July 1st is going to roll around, and we still have students to serve. We have our community needs to meet, and we're going to continue working through those questions and the gap areas that we may have missed along the way. But our goal from the start is serving our students. So we really want to make sure that, yes, July 1st will be when papers are signed and things are handed over, but we still have jobs to do. We still have to really help our students. And I think, you know, the Board of Regents may be a little quiet because everything's waiting for a higher learning commission at this point. And I do appreciate the system really allowing us to work together through this, really giving us some flexibility to ensure that the way we need to meet the needs of our students may be different than how some of the other universities are handling this. So I really have been very appreciative working collaboratively with Eau Claire and seeing what our community's needs are versus others.
1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got questions or comments. We're talking about local impacts at the Rice Lake campus and the Eau Claire campus of the University of Wisconsin College and University, respectively, with regard to the restructuring. July 1st deadline was set last October. There's still some things up in the air. The High Learning Commission, we're learning and hearing that their decision will be coming perhaps later this month. If you've got a question, give us a call, 1-800-228-5615. And we've got two open phone lines right now. So Mike Rindo, you mentioned the Higher Learning Commission possibly later this month will make a decision. So if it's later this month, if it's after the – well, I know you don't speak for the regents, but would there have to be some kind of an emergency meeting perhaps, depending on what – because if documents are signed and all that, it sounds very legal. But if we can't proceed legally until the Higher Learning Commission – how does that process?
Well, I'm not sure it's a legal matter as much as it is, as Brittany mentioned earlier, an accreditation matter. So sure. We have to have that accreditation, and in order to do that, it has to have the approval of the Higher Learning Commission. You know, this is not a simple matter, and this is going to be an ongoing effort for a couple of years yet. So we're not going to have everything put to bed by July 1.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of transition that will continue. The UW colleges are very much centralized right now with a central administration in Madison. All of that has to be untangled, and a lot of those different kinds of services that are provided centrally will have to be provided jointly by UW-Eau Claire and UW-Barron County specifically for this campus, and that's going to happen with all of the other campuses as well. And remember, some of the other four-year institutions are taking on more than one two-year campus. They're receiving more than one two-year campus. And so I think that we're proceeding at different speeds as we go along here because it is much more complicated if you're receiving multiple campuses.
I can only imagine. I mean, we haven't even gotten into issues of tenure and credit transfers and all that. There's so many moving parts to this. Again, if you've got a question or comment, 1-800-228-5615. So and during an April meeting before the Board of Regents, Kathy Sandin, who's the chancellor of UW Extension, mentioned that 2018-2019 academic year would be a transition year, which is kind of what we're talking about already, because a number of decisions had been made that delayed some aspects of the restructure. So what is she talking about, Brittany Nielsen?
Sure. So what it was kind of like what Mike was talking about as well. So we know we have our curriculum set for 2018-2019.
Yeah.
Our students can be reassured that the classes they see on the website right now is what we're offering for the next academic year. But then we really do need to come together as one institution after July 1st and start having those conversations of what's the curriculum going to look like for 2019-2020 and make sure that our students have plenty of time to understand what they mean, what the courses mean, if they are changed in the catalog. We have one catalog now versus two separate catalogs. Well, we will be.
Okay.
You know, one academic calendar versus two different academic calendars. So we just want to make sure that we have enough time and we're not rushing through that process. So that flexibility of time is going to allow both campuses to come together and be able to really communicate to our students with ample time.
Part of this, this is just another aspect that I thought, man, that's got to be complicated. The U.S. Department of Education mentioned that UW colleges, or they suggested, UW colleges should administer federal student aid for its current students through the 2018-2019 year, academic year. Wasn't that the plan already, Brittany Nielsen?
Yep. That's one of the really important things is that financial aid is not harmed through this process, that our students still receive the aid that they apply for. So we do have agreements set up where we can provide that federal financial aid for our students without any delay. And that was at the forefront of everybody's mind, is to make sure this upcoming fall semester our students are receiving the aid like they always have. Yeah.
And the UW College is already undergoing or has been undergoing a restructuring of sorts. And so how does this – is this undoing the restructuring that had happened or was – happening prior, I think that was the last budget,
right?
That basically forced the hand, or kind of how it was reported anyway, due to a budget cut. There needed to be efficiencies found and regionalization. So we went to that regionalization model. Does that kind of go out the window with campuses moving to?
Yes and no. So we, like Mike had said, we have a central office that does a lot of our services right now. So admissions processing, financial aid, veteran services is done at a central level versus on each of our individual 13 campuses plus online. And what we're going to be doing is I think we've learned a lot of lessons through that reorganization. I know working with Eau Claire, I was able to use the information I had from our first reorganization and bring that experience, bring that knowledge. The other thing is, too, looking at how can Eau Claire serve in a capacity similar to our central office, and what capacity have we identified that needs to be more local? What services really need to take place at Barron County in Rice Lake, and what services can we do remotely? So,
and these are things that you know, the group or the stakeholders from both institutions can negotiate over, or there's no directives coming from UW System that it must look like this. So that sounds like quite a lot of flexibility, Mike Rindo.
We've had a steering committee that's been working on this since the announcement.
Right.
We moved very quickly to form a steering committee. Brittany was one of the co-chairs of that steering committee, along with our arts and sciences dean, David Lehman.
Mm-hmm.
I was a member of the steering committee, currently still am a member of the steering committee because it's ongoing. But we put together some guiding principles very early on to make sure that we were all on the same page in terms of the decision-making process, and those were: put students first, preserve and strengthen our distinct missions. We don't want UW-Barron County to become a mini UW-Eau Claire.
Right.
We have distinctive missions, and we serve distinctive populations, and so that's extremely important. Operate with transparency. Proceed with focused speed, because we knew we had a deadline looming on July 1. Strengthen inclusive excellence. That means how do we serve many different populations of students, whether they're traditional, non-traditional, students of color, underrepresented, all of those kinds of students.
Right.
And then create a foundation of financial sustainability. That's a really important aspect of the work we're doing, because we did go through those budget cuts that you talked about earlier. That's what led to decision-making to do a lot of centralization and regionalization at the college's level, and certainly Brittany knows volumes more about that than I do. But we went through our own budget cuts at Eau Claire.
To the tune of $12 million.
Right, and you know, we reduced our workforce at Eau Claire by 15% during those budget cuts. And so we knew that we had to approach this in a way that would enable us to be financially sustainable for the long term, both campuses, not just Barron County, but Eau Claire.
Before we take our break, I wanted to kind of follow up on that, Mike Rindo. When the budget cuts were happening at UW-Eau Claire, there was this incentivized early retirement, but also it sounded like the idea was to try to trim administrative fat, if you can call it that. So now you're looking at taking on the administration of finances for another university. Are you going to need to hire people for that, or how do you make that work? I guess that's a big question.
Well, that's been part of the discussion, and certainly we did reduce administration. Senior administration at the time of the budget cuts at UW-Eau Claire was reduced by 32%. And, you know, that was from an already lean administrative structure. So we knew going in we were going to have a lean administrative structure for Barron County as well,
mm-hmm.
Because our number one mission, of course, is to educate students in the classroom. So in order to do that, you need to put most of your resources there, the vast majority of your resources there, in fact. But Brittany can talk a little bit about the structure that we've come up with.
Yeah,
sure.
Right now, so we closed on a search, and we're going to be looking at a role of a campus director. So there will be a campus director at the University of Wisconsin Barron County's campus. And then we also have, on a faculty side, we have a chair. So we have a faculty member serving as a chair and that liaison between the main campus of UW-Eau Claire and the branch campus of UW-Barron County. So those two are really going to be the administrative structures at that branch campus. And it's as if we're running the way we are right now. So I serve as a campus administrator and also oversee our student affairs office. So it's going to be very reflective of what people know. I think the benefit, too, with this campus director is that there's going to be more opportunities for external relations. Within our reorganization, we have a regional dean, an executive officer, and he has four campuses across the entire north. So this is just going to give us, again, more opportunities for that campus director to be the face in the community, to make those connections that are vital to our students, that are vital to us as a local campus.
With this, let's take our first break here on the west side. We're talking this hour about the ongoing restructuring of the state's two-year colleges and four-year universities. To give us some local perspective, we're speaking with Brittany Nielsen of UW-Barron County and UW Colleges Northern Region, along with Mike Rindo of UW-Eau Claire. If you have questions or comments, please give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. Always adds to the conversation, no matter what the topic is. 1-800-228-5615. We'll be back in just a bit.
Support for WPR comes from Steep & Brew, offering Cafe Fair socially responsible organic coffee. Cafe Fair supports environmentally sustainable practices and roasts coffee in a solar-powered facility. CafeFair.com.
It's the fourth annual Bird School at Beaver Creek Reserve. Open to the public as an in-depth introduction to the fascinating world of birds, it's Thursday, June 7th through Saturday the 9th. Registration is required. Information at beavercreekreserve.org.
You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in this Monday morning. The UW System's Governing Board of Regents meets this week for the last time before the July 1st deadline that is tied to what is being called the UW System Restructure. In a nutshell, the plan is to merge the state's two-year colleges with a number of the state's four-year universities. Here in western Wisconsin, UW-Barron County is slated to merge with UW-Eau Claire. We're speaking with local university officials about what it all means. I'm joined by Brittany Nielsen, UW-Barron County Campus Administrator and Associate Dean for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management at UW Colleges, and Mike Rindo, UW-Eau Claire Assistant Chancellor for Facilities and University Relations. If you've got a question or a comment, let us have it. 1-800-228-5615. We've got wide open phone lines. So with regard to some of the goals of this restructuring, early on, we were talking about enrollment challenges at the colleges. And Brittany Nielsen, if you could kind of give us an update on that, or give us kind of a refresher, because some of the numbers that were posted by the UW System Administrator or administration seemed pretty dire. Like, I think it was Wood County or Marshfield or Marathon had like 50% decline. Barron County, what was the projected decline in enrollment for Barron County? And we're talking, what's the time frame here?
Well, Barron County, we've been pretty lucky. Our enrollments have been fairly stable in comparison to the colleges as a whole. The one important thing to keep in mind is around that 2010 marker, that was record enrollments for most of our campuses.
Right.
Yes.
Which was kind of curious that they chose those numbers. It almost seemed like something someone would do if they were trying to make a case for something they wanted to do anyway. Again, I'm very skeptical by nature, but why is that important that they use the 2010 numbers?
Well, I think it is showcasing what we can handle as a university and an institution, so we can maximize our capacity. But we don't have a lot of our non-traditional dislocated workers. We don't have they have jobs.
Right.
And when the jobs are plentiful, we tend to see a decline in higher education. So it's really important to just recognize what the data means. So I don't think anyone was trying to do anything sneaky, but I do think it's really important to understand that before, in 2010, the jobs weren't there. We were closing jobs. And so all those workers were coming into the universities. They were getting certificates, associate's degrees, and bachelor's degrees in order to find better jobs or even pick up a different career. So I think it's just noteworthy. But one of the important things to note is that Barron has been pretty successful. We haven't had any sharp declines, and that we are continuing to serve our non-traditional or adult students, as well as our high school students. So I think it's really important, and our location has a lot to do with that. If you look at Rice Lake area, there's not a lot of options. Mm-hmm. And our students have the ability to stay in housing. So we have those that drive back and forth and commute to campus. But we also have student housing. So we do see students coming from a few hours away to really get that local flair, to get the small class sizes, and of course, affordability. Our tuition is going to remain the same. And we're so excited about that because we have a lot of students in need. They need that education. They need that second chance. They need that open access mission. And that's what we're going to continue to do.
Well, before I go any further, I wanted to go to mission. And we've already discussed how the missions are different. How are they different? Mike Rindo, how is UW-Eau Claire's mission different than UW-Barron County's? Because I would assume the idea is to be open and offer access to the university just the same.
Well, I would say the biggest difference is that Barron County is open access. So if you have your high school credential or the equivalent, you are admitted into UW-Barron County.
I see.
UW-Eau Claire is what we call semi-selective.
Mm-hmm.
So we admit students based on their performance in their high school years, and then also their ACT tests.
Sure.
So that's different, and we do serve students that are fundamentally not fundamentally different, but there is a difference in the students. We do take a lot of transfers from UW-Barron County. So those students are very well prepared,
mm-hmm.
and they come to UW-Eau Claire, and then they do well at UW-Eau Claire. So I think that what we're looking at is you have a student – so, for example, we had a student that applied to UW-Eau Claire who – didn't perform probably up to their potential in high school, but had a very good ACT score. And so our suggestion was enroll at UW-Barron County and spend some time there before you were to come to UW-Eau Claire. And that student chose to do that. So we hope to see more of that kind of thing. The idea here is not to have all UW-Barron County students transfer to Eau Claire. They're mm-hmm. going to be able to transfer anywhere they wish, and their credits will transfer to other UW system institutions. But we do believe there are some really good synergies. We're very similar in the kind of offerings that we have academically. And so that's why it's a really good fit for our two institutions joining together.
Brittany Nielsen, would you care to elaborate on that? The mission, besides the open access, what other differences might there be between the two missions?
There's not a lot of other differences, really.
Okay.
I mean, Mike was absolutely correct in that we allow students an opportunity. We have the ability, with being a smaller campus, to really take them under our wing. We do have students that struggle. They have a very low ACT or they have a low GPA, and they just need a try. We've heard from school counselors before that they will see students change their mind at the last second, and all of a sudden they don't have an opportunity to retake the ACT.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a senior coming up in January, February, as applications are starting to slow down, for UW-Barron County, that's when they start picking up. We really see a lot of incoming students in June, July, and August, and it's that change of heart, that change of mind, and they're stuck. And we want to say, no, you're not. You have that opportunity to get started in an amazing UW institution. And then maybe after a semester or two, or after earning your associate's degree, you can transfer and finish up that baccalaureate degree.
So aside from kind of stemming, one of the arguments was made early on was that this restructure had partially was due to the enrollment projections. But other positives and potential goals of the whole thing were to help with the transfer of credits. And Ray Cross, president of the UW system, has said that they were able to – the goal is to identify and reduce barriers to transferring credits within the UW system. So, again, just kind of looking – through the scope at UW-Barron County, UW-Eau Claire, what kind of – is there barriers that need to be knocked down between transferring from the two-year to the four-year? What kind of examples are there?
There are barriers, and it's something that either – even Chancellor Sandin and I have been working on too. It's something where we don't have one common catalog in the UW system. So if a student takes English 101 at UW-Barron County, it can be a writing course at Eau Claire. It can be a English with a different number at Parkside. So all of us utilize different catalogs and different naming conventions. That can be tricky for students. Not that the credits don't transfer, but it's something that they transfer and they appear different. So our academic advisors really work hard to showcase and to indicate how those credits transfer. The UW system also has what's called a transfer information system. We call it a match game. You plug in your class from Barron, you pick any other university, and it calculates exactly how it will transfer. So we do have that tool, which is really helpful, really beneficial, but we're not there yet. I think, you know, once we can get to a common catalog, then that will really be seamless for our students.
Common catalog between the campuses or between the through the whole system?
To start with Eau Claire. I mean, just Barron County and Eau Claire having one catalog, one naming convention for all of our classes, it's going to be huge for our students.
So to the layperson, that seems like it shouldn't be that hard. Just draw up a catalog, Mike. Mike Rindo, so... Is there a ballpark for when you'd like to get that part of it done? I mean, because I understand we have to wait for certain things to happen at the system level and even beyond, but when could there be a catalog? I would assume it might be the next academic year or the one after?
That's the plan, is to work this coming academic year to create that common catalog between our two campuses. In terms of what happens system-wide, you know, that's a question for the system academic affairs folks.
But, sure.
Yeah.
But so when you say for the next academic year, would that be?
1920.
1920, okay. The other goals that were mentioned were just kind of the reallocation of financial resources. You know, there's limited funds in general. We hear that from every level of government, every level of the, you know, higher education, et cetera. So according to an outline that was sent to the Higher Learning Commission, all funding allocated to individual colleges in this fiscal year will be transferred to the receiving institution. Has that already happened? And what does that even mean?
Well, that's a really important question. It's a really big question. I think at this point, we have a lot of meetings happening talking about what does the budget look like? How will it transition in? From what I know, that has not occurred yet. We're really trying to do a lot of gathering of knowledge and information and bringing the right people to the table to really extract what the numbers look like, because we need to be financially responsible. Mm-hmm. We need to ensure that we know what's available and what is needed in order to support both institutions.
But in theory, it sounds like the money, once the ink is dry and once the bigger, you know, the papers are signed and whatnot, it sounds like UW-Eau Claire will get a chunk of money that would be for both campuses. Is that?
That is a long-term plan, yes.
A long-term mm-hmm. plan, okay.
Right, so it's going to take time, as we said earlier.
Yeah.
There's a lot of centralized services, whether it's at the in Madison or at the regional campus level for the colleges. And we're not, you know, flipping the switch on July 1. All of that doesn't go away. And so we have to figure out how that happens over a period of time where the funding follows to the receiving institutions.
And maybe it's a product of being so far on the outside that – you know, hearing the July 1st deadline, it kind of assume one would be led to assume that there was going to be a lot of change that happened on July 1st. Now it sounds like at best we might get a name change out of the thing. Am I oversimplifying this? The answer is yes.
I think you are. I, you know, there's going to be a lot of things that will be changing. So, for example, recruitment of students. Right.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be working. In fact, we already are working together as the two institutions on how we're putting together the recruitment plan going forward. And so in order for us, of course, to be teaching students, we have to have them come to the campuses. So that's moving forward. And shared governance and how faculty are being incorporated into departments at UW-Eau Claire. A lot of that is in the process of occurring. It will formally occur after July 1, pending the Higher Learning Commission approval. So I would say that there's a lot of trains going down separate tracks. I'll try to arrive at the same location and or destination in the next couple of years.
Right, next couple of years, and maybe even beyond that. It sounds like for some of the really in the weeds details, we're talking about the restructuring of the University of Wisconsin system, 2-year colleges merging with 4-year universities. July 1st deadline, there's still a lot up in the air about what can happen and when it might happen. We're talking with two local officials, Mike Rindo of UW-Eau Claire and Brittany Nielsen of UW-Barron County and UW Colleges. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. It is a very complicated issue, but we would love to hear from you, 1-800-228-5615. I do want to talk about shared governance when we return. We'll be back in just a bit.
Honestly, I like a little bit of everything.
Always on in the car.
Generally, if the radio's on, it's on WPR.
It's a good, constant source of news, and it keeps me engaged with the world.
My favorite shows are political shows.
And the music is really good.
I also like to listen to WPR for sheer entertainment.
Intelligent conversation.
I'm always just happy to tune in.
Give, just like you listen, on a regular basis. Become a sustaining member at WPR.org/donate.
Support for WPR comes from the UW Health Breast Center, offering second opinions for more than 4,000 Wisconsin women and men diagnosed with breast cancer each year. More at uwhealth.org/second opinion. Support also comes from the Eau Claire Children's Theater, presenting the Farndale Avenue Housing Estate Towns Women's Guild Dramatic Society Murder Mystery, June 14th through the 17th at the Oxford. Details are at ecct.org.
You're listening to The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in general, and especially for listening to this show this morning. We're talking about a restructure of the UW system. The plan is to merge the state's 2-year colleges with the 4-year universities. There's a July 1st deadline, but there are many moving parts in this highly complicated process. To help us understand what it all means for our region, I'm joined by Brittany Nielsen, UW-Barron County Administrator and Associate Dean for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management at UW Colleges, and Mike Rindo, UW-Eau Claire Assistant Chancellor for Facilities and University Relations. If you've got a question or a comment, don't hesitate. Give us a call. 1-800-228-5615 is the number. We've got 3 open phone lines right now. So I wanted to talk very briefly before we run out of time about 2 things, tenure and shared governance. I'll start with shared governance. And Mike Rindo, you alluded to this a little bit, but I guess I'll go to Brittany Nielsen first. Will faculty, staff, you know, academic staff, et cetera, and even the students, will they be allowed to join the UW-Eau Claire Faculty Senate? I guess that's kind of a question for both of you. I'll start with you, though, Brittany Nielsen.
Sure. Shared governance was one of the main topics that we started talking about right away. And we really relied heavily on our faculty members to figure out a plan that would work best for both entities. So they've been working and discussing going through committees, going through Senate, to determine what is the best representation. How can we serve on UW-Eau Claire's Senate, and how can Eau Claire be a part of our committees and our meetings as well. So I think we've come to a really good place where we will have shared governance between both institutions. And the most important point is from the beginning on, all of our committees have had that shared governance. We've had equal representation of faculty, staff, and students from Eau Claire and from Barron County this entire time.
Mike Rindo, tell me if I'm correct here. I was kind of looking at the document that was submitted to Higher Learning Commission. Of course, it was a brief, you know, overview. But what I understand is two members of faculty and academic staff governance at UW-Barron County will be elected to serve as senators on the existing UW-Eau Claire University Senate. Is this the way, I mean, is this kind of the outline for the plan?
That is the outline for the plan, yeah. And you're correct. It's a university senate. We have a combined faculty and academic staff senate at Eau Claire,
okay.
As well as we have a student senate, and so the students have been working together on their shared governance structure, and then we also have the university staff council.
Sure.
And so that's for people who work in a, typically in support jobs, or if they may be in grounds or maintenance or
sure.
those kinds of things. So all of those groups have been working to come up with shared governance that will provide voices for each institution in a manner that will help guide the governance of both UW-Eau Claire and UW-Barron County going forward.
And governance folks at UW-Eau Claire seem happy to welcome in, you know, bring more members to the family, et cetera?
Very much so, yes.
Okay. Brittany Nielsen, you know, having two members of faculty and academic staff go, you know, being represented on this council at UW-Eau Claire, is that a diminished kind of shared governance oversight over the whole process? Because I'm not sure what happens right now at UW-Barron County.
Right. We're still going to have our local meetings. So right now we have a steering committee. We have collegium that we run, which is very similar to a dean's meeting. And we'll still operate with that. There are still going to be very local decisions that have to be made. But the representation is great. We are a smaller campus. So to have two is almost you know, a quarter of our representation at UW-Eau Claire. So it's a strong representation there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was something that our faculty, staff, and our students, they were the ones to negotiate. They were the ones to work this out. And I think we came to a really supported decision with that representation. So we're excited about it. We're excited for the opportunities. I think that's the biggest thing right now is that we truly see opportunities with partnering with a larger institution that's only an hour away. So we joke about it that our administration is an hour away versus almost 4 hours away. So we're very, very excited to have that local feel again and to be able to have our chancellor on our campus and to have others be a part of community events that we just didn't have the ability to do that before.
Based on emails that I had seen from some of the campuses in reporting on this restructure as it in the earlier days when it was first announced, there seemed to be concern about tenure from larger institutions like UW-Milwaukee. They were a research institution. They were concerned about how they absorb, et cetera. That's their, you know, I'm not going to ask you to speak for those cases. But with regard to tenure, I have to assume that it's tenure is granted in a different fashion at UW-Eau Claire than it is at UW-Barron County. So how do you join those two in a way that you make everybody happy? Mike Rindo.
Well, I think that there's been a lot of discussion around that and how best we do that. UW-Eau Claire takes the approach that you are tenured to the university, not necessarily to a specific department. And that's the way that we've really worked on this discussion. And I know that there is a process underway right now with our provost working on the reappointment of tenured faculty at UW-Barron County to UW-Eau Claire. So they will transfer over to UW-Eau Claire. And Brittany probably knows more specifics about how exactly that's working.
Brittany Nielsen.
Right. So the important thing is, again, making sure that we have the credentialing, we have all the process and paperwork aligned. And I think the really a good benefit that we have right now is that it's open conversation. So UW-Eau Claire's provost has been phenomenal working with the faculty members to ensure moving forward We have a process that everyone understands. But Mike hit the nail on the head by saying our faculty are tenured to the university. And that was a scary process for some of our faculty members just to ensure that they had a home moving forward. So I think there's a lot of reassurance knowing that the tenure is still going to be supported and that we have a clear definition of what that means in our future.
Tenured to the university, that makes sense. It seems like a one-to-one kind of a comparison, but some of the concerns that I had seen among faculty members at other campuses was that how that tenure was granted, you know, there's a different process. You know, the folks at the university said that, well, they have a more rigorous process maybe than a two-year campus. So will that alienate some folks that feel like they might have gone through more to get tenure at the four-year when you're transferring these people from the two-year? I mean, it seems like it could become quickly kind of divisive in a way. Has that happened at all?
I don't think it's happened. I don't think that it's happened. I think one of the things we recognize is we are two different institutions. So our faculty, while many of them do research, their dedication is to the classroom. Their dedication is to the student teachings. And that's different. At larger institutions in the UW system, their dedication is to the research and the development. So our faculty have chosen to work at UW-Barron County for a different reason. And we know that the process is going to be different, and we have to respect that. But I think the most important thing is how we identify what those differences are, and then how we create a plan that is open for both faculty at UW-Eau Claire as well as faculty at UW-Barron County.
Openness is definitely key in all of this. One question, one thing that popped out at me when I was reading through the documents, it was a supporting document that UW-Eau Claire had submitted with regard to the application, I think, to the Higher Learning Commission. Mike Rindo, help me understand what this paragraph means. And it's probably going to... Verbatim. Currently, the overall changes represent $250,000 in tuition revenue for UW-Barron County and 1,317 credit hours that are at risk. UW-Eau Claire is working with UW System Administration's efforts to mitigate this new early college credit legislation's impact. Any idea what that's about, Mike Rindo? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah, so that had to do with a change in legislation that occurred in the last budget cycle.
Okay.
And whether university faculty would be able to teach courses for students in high school similar to an advanced placement course.
Sure.
It's not exact correlation.
That's ringing a bell.
So that was one of the things that we wanted to get cleared up, and I believe that was resolved in this last legislative session.
Right. Yep. So one of the important things is UW-Barron County, we serve a lot of high school students who are taking college credits at the same time. This past year, we had three high school seniors graduate with their associate's degree and their high school diploma in the same month. So we know that is a group of students that we want to continue serving. So that was really important. That was from Barron and Eau Claire. We had a lot of concern around being able to continue serving that need due to legislation. But it is something that, yes, moving forward, we will be continue to do right now. But we have to stay vigilant. We have to stay on top of proposed legislation and really indicate to them what that means, not only for the university, but for our high schools.
Yeah, one of the things we've heard consistently from rural high schools where, you know, they've been hit hard by some enrollment declines and so they face some budget challenges. And one of the things that they're not able to do to the level that they'd like to be able to do is offer a variety of courses, whether it's AP or, say, it's foreign language course, something like that, a more specialized course than they have available. That's where you see a lot of these coming into play. And so that's a big concern for us because we want to make sure that students are being given the opportunity regardless if you're in Eau Claire School District, which is one of the larger ones in the state,
sure,
or if you're in Prairie Farm, right?
Right.
So so you really need to be able to preserve that option going forward. And Barron County's done a terrific job with that through the years of being able to offer those kinds of courses to high school students.
So one of the other goals that has been mentioned, it's at least in the documents that you're coming from UW-Eau Claire, it has to do with diversity. We've already touched on it a little bit, but it's argued that the merger of two-year colleges with four-year universities will add diversity to the UW system. Mike Rindo, let me start with you. How does that happen, and how will it happen with the marriage of UW-Barron County and Eau Claire?
Well, as you may know, UW-Eau Claire has as one of its guidepost goals to have 20% enrollment of students in color,
yeah,
of color.
Right.
And you know, we're slowly working toward that. And Chancellor Schmidt has made the point many times that if you take a look at the demographics, all you have to do is we know who's coming into our campus, right, from the high schools. And,
sure,
and when you see the diversification that's going on, for example, in the Eau Claire School District, we know that we have to be prepared as an institution to welcome students of color and to really reduce the opportunity gap. We want the students to be able to succeed at the same way majority students do. Barron County is part of that. And if you take a look at some of the special populations that they're serving, whether mm-hmm. it be the Somalis,
yeah,
or it be Native Americans, or it be Red Cedar Academy in Ladysmith, we think that by having an open access institution as well as our current mission, that we're going to be able to actually do better at attracting and retaining those students of color.
Brittany Nielsen, we're up against the end of the program, but explain how Barron County has been approaching diversity and how it will add to UW-Eau Claire's mission.
Right. One of the important things that you will see when you walk through the halls of UW-Barron County is that diversity. You will see it not only with color, but you will see it with our adult population coming in. We have students where mom and dad are taking classes, and one of them right now, their son's coming up this fall semester. So you see entire families walking around. It's not uncommon to see mom bringing in their son or daughter because daycare fell through. Mm-hmm. So we really just keep an open access mission, not only with admissions, but with our students of color and other populations that may not feel served in other areas.
With that, we've got 1 minute left. Brittany Nielsen, I'll start with you. I want to go round robin. Tell us about the future of this merger.
Well, I really want to say I would invite everyone to come out on Tuesday, July 24th. Really important picnic that we are throwing together with UW-Eau Claire and UW-Barron County, hopefully launching our name, our entire partnership. Again, that's going to be July 24th, 4 to 7 p.m. at the UW-Barron County campus.
Mike Rindo, any last words?
I would say that our theme throughout this partnership has been we're stronger together, and we believe that, and I think that we've got a great future with the two institutions combined.
Fantastic. Thank you both so much for your time and your discussion this hour. I'd also like to thank Team Westside for putting this all together, and also welcome to reporting intern Molly Dove to Western Wisconsin. I'm Rich Kramer. Have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning.